him. Yeah. Oh, we can't.
Oh, okay, because it's a bomb. Yeah.
So whatever, I don't. What, yeah, that's up to them. I don't have to sign any checks. Yeah, I didn't have to sign anything.
I'm sure she's not doing it for free. Well, hi, Ben.
Hey.
I brought two small ones because that's all I have.
Good evening. The time is 6:30. We'll bring the ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee for the West Papio Trail, Giles Road to Miller, to order. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is right here and posted in the back of the room should anyone from the public wish to see it. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals, recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the items. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion or action must be taken. Roll call.
Burnett.
Present.
Feller.
He's absent.
Not here.
Okay. Thompson.
Here.
Connelly. Fred.
Here.
Connelly.
And we had already replaced one, and there's another excused absence, so we have three.
Right. So we'll, and Patrick Leahy's gone as well, so there's only three committees.
Patrick Leahy is excused.
Okay.
And Fred Connelly is standing in for our alternate, Tim Fowler. Standing in for Tim Fowler. And see, I need to appoint one more.
No, you can have three if you want.
So there's three of us.
It's just a recommendation. Yeah.
Four.
Three out of five.
We'll proceed with three.
Okay.
Okay. Adoption of the agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Connelly? Fred?
Aye.
And Chair?
Yes. All right. As mentioned previously, approved publications in the back of the room and with me should anyone from the public wish to view it. Item number six is a review and recommendation of initial screening of proposals for consultant selection interviews for employees.
Thank you. We released an RFP for a trail to continue the West Papio Trail, starting at the south end around 108th and Giles and continuing north along a former rail corridor. It will cross the Hell Creek Bridge, which we're currently working on stabilizing, under Harrison Street, under the interstate, continuing along Harry Anderson Ave up to the southeast corner of about 132nd and Q, which is where we had the license agreement for the adjacent property for a trailhead and access. We received responses from six firms. That would be the team of Big Buddy Workshop and JEO Consulting Group, Earhart Griffin & Associates, Feldsberg Holt and Ulevig, HGM Associates, Lampert Nearson, and Snyder & Associates.
And all directors have received all six proposals. And your recommendation is to interview those consultant groups June 2nd.
That's correct.
Have a motion to accept that recommendation?
Well, I think you've got to pick three.
Yes, there was a copy of a memo inserted into the books that does have a recommendation for four of the firms.
Four firms?
Yes. And that would be the combined team of Big Money and JEO, FHU, HGM, and Lampert Nearson.
No, I think we need to go through all of them. That match my recommendation. Neither does I don't think we need to interview four. I think we should do it down to three.
So your motion is to amend.
Well, I don't have a motion. I'd like to discuss the why one versus the other.
Yeah, let's hear from staff why we ended up with those four to be recommended.
Yep, in alphabetical order, each of the proposals had some advantages in some areas where they could use some improvement. Big Money Workshop did the West Papio Trail Alignment Study in the past. They are primarily a kind of planning and landscape architecture firm. And so in the past, they've received comment that trail design, construction administration is more of an engineering task. So this time they have partnered with JEO, who is stronger in the technical aspects of the engineering. And so their experience with this section, and they have done field work through this area in the past, makes them a good candidate. They also have a strong proposal, again, based on the experience and communication with them about what we were looking for. Next up is Earhart Griffin. Their proposal is all right, and they have done lots of trail work with us in the past. They currently have two outstanding trail projects, both of which have some lingering issues through NDOR and federal funding, both of which need to be resolved. And so based on the amount of current work that they have that we're working on with them and the overall details included in this proposal, we felt that some of the other proposals were stronger on this trail segment than EGA's proposal. FHU had probably the strongest environmental proposal. There are a couple different environmental considerations here, not as numerous as other trails, but there is a Oak Creek, Oak Brook Creek, which comes through the golf course and outfalls into the West Papio. That bridge is essentially failed, so it will either need to be reconstructed or removed and replaced, and probably some amount of drainage way work right down next to the West Papio Trail. FHU has currently completed plans, and we are in the process of moving to bidding on a very similar project at Hell Creek. That's a more significant stream, but again, it's a bridge stabilization coupled with a kind of a drop structure down into the West Papio. So their environmental and drainage way work in the area makes them probably the most environmentally strong team. They also have been strengthening their trail and transportation design over the last few years, so they had a good proposal here as well. HGM did the last section from 90th Street over to 96th and up to 108th. It was a solid design. The work came in pretty effectively. The construction came in under the engineer's estimate and was completed on time. We are wrapping up some of the SWIP work right now still for some of the seating, and so they're helping to finish that. But overall, it was a good proposal, and they have good experience on West Papio Trail design and construction. The next section is more of a covered corridor, so it's slightly different than the essentially levee-based section that they just completed. But again, they have pretty good relevant experience on a section of trail directly next to this one. Lampert-Nielsen has solid trail experience in our area as well. They are pretty heavily involved in some other aspects of the trail system, including the mile marker project that they've helped to lead. They have several team members who have good trail design and implementation experience. And their proposal was pretty solid. Again, they have landscape architecture experience on their team as well, which is something that we're looking for. So most of the proposals included some level of landscape and design that goes in addition to the physical concrete itself, but also some environmental and kind of area aesthetics work. So Lamp's proposal was pretty solid as well. The last proposal is from Snyder & Associates, and they have good trail experience, but it's not directly in our area. A couple of their offices are based out of Des Moines, Ankeny, and Council Bluffs, and so compared to the local firms who have done other trail projects with the district in the past, theirs wasn't quite as sharp and quite as focused on exactly how we construct trails. They weren't quite as familiar with this particular section, and the logistics of both travel and coordination might be a little bit more challenging. So for that reason, since we had other strong proposals, they were not one of the recommended teams either.
Thank you, Eric. So we have a staff recommendation and no other motion on the floor.
We don't have a motion on the floor. It's like we're in discussion stage. Mm-hmm. If I may.
Go ahead.
You mentioned Aaron Griffin has two trail projects. They've been working with state and federal folks.
Yep.
The progress of those are dependent on Lincoln, not necessarily Aaron Griffin.
That is
and
true.
Assuming that?
Okay. Yep. So the remaining details on those are mostly tied to the state and federal aspects. And since this project doesn't have that, that's probably not a consideration. Just that the outstanding projects and some of the details involved in the proposal, we felt that some of the other proposals were a little stronger for this specific project.
Okay. Well, If you use criteria of existing projects, Big Muddy Workshop is currently wrestling with a 6-year South Omaha Trail. They have one person in-house doing that. Good firm, they do great work, but my concern about them is a lack of in-house expertise to get this done. And they made, first of all, there was two that didn't make my cut, Snyder Associates and Lamper Nearson. I thought that proposal was pretty weak, quite frankly. They put in, it's a smaller submission, but not a whole lot of data. So it's like, let's see if we can get it. So I didn't picture that one as strong. I left the other four. Having some concerns about Big Muddy as far as their ability and their capacity to absorb this one, especially since South Omaha Trail isn't done yet. It should be done this summer, even though it's overdue. Blame that on City of Omaha, I guess, or contractor or whoever. But you had mentioned them, construction period services being their weakness. That's why they bring in JEO. Perhaps that should have been done in the past. I don't know. I still think we should narrow it down to three, but I'm not yet ready to make a motion.
Well, we normally had six before. What is the number?
We interview from 3 to 4, typically.
3 to 4.
Typically.
On the previous section of this trail, there were 8 proposals, and 3 were selected. On the last section from 90th to 108th.
It's not that much time to interview these consultants. And I would prefer that we interviewed all 6. I like the fact
all
that
6?
All 6. And then whittle them down as directors in the subcommittee.
I think that's putting a burden on each of them, because maybe not enough time for us, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, but for them to prepare a proposal, that's significant work hours involved. And I don't think it's fair to interview someone from Iowa thinking that they might have the job, and none of us think that they made the cut. It's just not fair to the contractors.
Mr. Chair, if I could maybe offer a little bit of a compromise here. I tend to agree that Lamprey Nearson, as you were saying, is probably a little thin. They didn't. I don't know that they spent as much time working and looking at others. And we were, I think, prepared to look at probably, if you wanted to bring it down to 3, they'd likely be the firm that we'd recommend that you not include in what we recommended. Snyder, I think, is out. Maybe a compromise is doing 4 and including Earhart Griffin. They had a pretty good proposal. I think, again, they've got some current work going with us and thinking, well, just spreading it around a little bit more is really the idea. They've done good work for us, no doubt about that. Maybe that would be a bit of a compromise. So what I'm saying, compromise.
So you're saying substitute Earhart Griffin for Lamprey Nearson.
Right. I think we could live with that. We could live with that.
4 and 5. Still 4.
Still 4. You're just substituting one for the other.
And I would suggest to not interviewing them all, because it costs them money to do it. Right. And if they don't really have a shot, it's not fair asking them to come in.
Unless you think all equally have a shot. 5. I don't know if you do.
Only one can get it.
Right.
But they all have an equal shot in their presentations.
Yeah.
These proposals are done, and they've already done most of the work. So, allowing them to carry through the process, at least getting an interview, shouldn't be that much more difficult. I appreciate the fact that we've got multiple vendors here. Some projects we only have 2, mm-hmm. So we're lucky to have 6.
You're right.
If you like the resume, give them an interview. If you don't like the resume, then don't give
them. It's a lot of work to go from this stage to the interview. They've done a lot of work, no doubt. But I'm not sure they.
So, are you modifying your?
I'm suggesting a compromise, maybe to modify, and instead of doing Lamprey Nearson as the 4th one, to do Earhart Griffin.
Okay, so we have a modification to the staff recommendation to
I'd like to move staff recommendation.
Okay. Motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Yeah. Just to make it clear, I'll second the motion that Big Money Workshop with Jake Yo, Elizabeth Holton, over HDM, and Eric Griffin be interviewed by the subcommittee in alphabetical order on June 2nd. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
And Chair.
Aye. Anything else? Okay. That completes the agenda for this evening's meeting. We are adjourned.
Calling to order the Programs Project Operations Subcommittee meeting. Chairman John Conley is excused, so I'll be filling in as Vice Chairman. Notification of Open Meeting Act is posted on outside the door. And I believe you did read, the inside of that or not? Can't remember.
Yes.
All right. Copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the back of the wall. Prior to adjourning tonight's agenda, I'd like to announce a procedure with respect to use. Will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The director's first year staff proposals, recommendations, then the public will be given the opportunity to speak the item. Lastly, directors will discuss the item, take action. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Quorum call, please.
Greg Conley?
Here.
Lee's not present. Holland is put into his place. He's not here.
Right.
Caesar?
Yes, here.
And Thompson?
Here. With that, adopting an agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Call.
Caesar?
Yes.
Conley?
Yes. Proof of publication is over there in that folder, I believe.
You have it now.
Huh? Oh, there it is on the back.
The traded hand.
All right. Item 6, review recommendation on the Area Electromagnetic Survey South of the Sarpy County Project. Paul Woodward. Where's Paul?
You want to take Paul? Paul's stuck in the detour.
Marlon Peterman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this Hello. Contract this evening, we've got three parts, and we'll kind of go through each one of those, and we do have then a motion that kind of wraps all three together because they're all somewhat, they all are part of this. This is the basically the aerial electromagnetic surveying of our underground land, our aquifers, our bedrock, our soil formations underground, basically using the helicopter and the big lattice structure that has been done in some cases by ENRA, our Eastern Nebraska Water Resource Agency that we work with and are a member of. And we have a particular area here in Sarpy County that you would like to study further. And a few months ago approved the issuance of a water sustainability fund application as well as application for along with other NRDs. That funding was approved, and so that is available to do basically studies of the Dakota Aquifer in that area of Sarpy County to help delineate and determine an area that we do have some nitrate problems and determine more about that and how that particular isolated Dakota aquifer is working there, and to better map those water quality and water quantity issues. So the firm that we are recommending to do that is one that all the NRDs, there were six other NRDs that made a similar application, that we'd all use, are proposing to use this firm called Aqua Geo Frameworks. Jim Kenia is the president of that company, and they have done the ENRA flights and other work in Nebraska with amazing results. Very detailed and very good information. And they can see down 400-500 feet in even our deep soils in eastern Nebraska, and it has been phenomenal, the type of information they generate. And so that contract is a total of $400,000. The initial part does need to be, a deposit to in order to get them mobilized here. Within 30 days, $120,000 of that. And then the $200,000 after the data acquisition, and then $80,000 at the final acceptance of the report. We also are getting here, we also have here a case where this is something that has come up since the last budget year, and so we didn't actually have a budgeted account for this, and so we're thinking we should show it under the ENRA budget, but that $30,000 has basically been spent. And so we're asking also for approval to exceed the ENRA account budget by 110%. So the staff recommendation is threefold, that the general manager be authorized to execute this Water Sustainability Grant Fund award of $240,000. And that the district waive the consultant selection process and the general manager be allowed to execute a service agreement with Aqua Geo Frameworks in the amount of $400,000. And that the ENRA account 0105-191-4195 be allowed to exceed 100% of the budgeted amount for this project.
All right, moving seconded. Anyone from the public wish to address this? Staff, any other clarifications? Directors. Director Jeff?
What's it actually going to cost the NRD for out of our pocket?
I thought there was a table here, but I don't. It's a.
That's on the next one.
Yeah, that's on the table's on the next one. Well, of the $400,000, we got $240,000 cost shares, so it'd be basically $160,000.
Okay. How can, to my knowledge, flying this has nothing to do, or can tell me where nitrates are in water. No. Why did you make this statement on water quality in the nitrates? In? What good is it going to do?
Well, if we think we have an isolated aquifer, the Dakota sandstone underlies a lot of our district, mm-hmm. and along the Platte, and we think it's an isolated Dakota sandstone, and therefore having the formation may tell us whether drilling deeper and going down deeper can get them cleaner water, you know, at least for a lot longer, or maybe not, depending upon how thick that Dakota aquifer really is. If it's pretty thin throughout, that's not going to help much. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to help provide us some information that we can then provide to area residents as to what they might do with their nitrate problem that they have.
What area residents are we trying to help here?
This is the ones kind of the southwest Sarpy County area.
Okay, that's okay.
Kind of Springfield and west.
I understand. Now, if we're drilling irrigation wells in, we would rather pull that high nitrate out to let the crops utilize it. Or if we're going to start poking holes in it, we can further contaminate the deeper water.
No, this is primarily a domestic water use issue.
Okay.
Marlon, I've got a question. The intent is to use the NRA budget throughout this multi-year contract. I'm not quite sure where the statement is and request $72,000 of the $120,000 back from the Water Sustainability Fund prior to the end of fiscal year 16. That's the last sentence before the staff recommendation. A little unclear to me.
Yeah, we get 60% of our expenditures from the Sustainability Fund, so we need to spend the $120,000 this fiscal year. And so we're going to ask that they reimburse us from before the end of the fiscal year with the $72,000 from Sustainability.
Therefore, it triggers you over 110%.
Yes.
Okay. Why wouldn't they give us a 240 right away? That's my understanding.
Here's we have to send in bills or receipts, and we won't have that until a year down the road when the study's done.
All right. And secondly, for the clarification of the second phase of this, is waiving the selection process, as we just went through in the prior ad hoc committee. This is the only guy in this entire state and Midwest that can do this. And in further discussions with the other nine sponsors for the $2.3 million, that's a lot of money, but it's the only guy in town now. I trust that our work is going to be coordinated with the other nine or eight sponsors, however there many are.
Yeah, we're talking about one mobilization. So he comes here and does all other seven of them, or nine of them. So we're doing them all at once. He didn't have to come for each one.
Yeah, he's going to be working the entire state of Nebraska in the same process we are.
Right.
So, all right. Any other discussion, directors?
Well, my wife lost her wedding ring in the Platte River, so if the guy can find it, I'll give him $1,000.
$1,000?
Yeah.
Roll call on the motion.
Deezer?
Yes.
Craig Conley?
Aye.
Chairperson?
Yes. Item 7.
Item number 7, then, is a groundwater and in surface water project that you were briefed on and did approve a Water Sustainability Fund application, as well as an IDEPT application from DNR. That stands for Insight Data Enhancement Program grant that they had available. And we've received word that both of those grants have been approved, both a grant from IDEPT of $72,000 and $64,200 on the Water Sustainability Fund. I might just scan it a little bit further. Can you go up? Oh, the other way. I'm sorry. To that table. No, this is the old. Yeah, the next agenda item, please. Yeah.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah, this table. So you can see the second and third line are those two grants that we've received. Then from USGS, who has the ability to do this investigation. And in this case, what we're talking about is, why don't you go to the map, just go on page down to the map. Yeah. Here between, you can just page down a little bit further, that's fine, right there. Between La Chera on the Platte River and Waterloo on the Elkhorn River, we're installing or have installed currently in place river gauging stations at both of those lake locations to give you surface water quantities and depths. And we have some groundwater wells that are out there to determine groundwater depths. And what this investigation is to look at is that comparison of surface water and groundwater to get an idea of what type of loss we're having from the Platte River migrating underground to the Elkhorn River and showing up as a surface water then at the Elkhorn. Some preliminary studies done by Lower Platte North a year or so ago were showing that there is in this area from Fremont down south past Valley that the Platte River is a losing stream and loses water. And one of the reasons that's important to us is that as we look at conjunctive management and look at the needs of our well fields that serve Omaha and Lincoln that are located primarily downstream of this in drought time, can one supplement water to them? And if so, can it get there? And this, if you put it in the Platte River, is it going to make it all the way down to Ashland, to the Lincoln water system, or to the MUD well fields south of center? So this investigation, USGS would do the analysis and perform and prepare the report. It'd be fun. They'd also provide some funding in the amount of $78,000 as cost share in the program because they're interested in this as well. And then we have the Lower Platte North NRD, who is our neighbor across the river in Saunders County in this case, also agreeing that they would help fund this project. And so the total cost is $253,500. And the motion then would kind of entail all of this by authorizing, first of all, that the grant awards for from NDOR, the Insight or IDEP grant, and the Water Sustainability Fund grant be executed by the general manager, and that we execute a joint funding agreement with USGS for a total of $175,500, with them providing, of course, a reciprocal, as I mentioned, $78,000 of that, and then interlocal agreement with the Lower Platte North for them to cost share up to $21,400 for this Platte Elkhorn Integrated Water Monitoring Project.
Is there a second?
Yeah.
All right. Second, move to staff recommendations. Anyone from the general public wish to discuss this?
Well,
directors. Director
Marlon.
Yes, sir.
If the water is leaking out of the flap heading through the Elkhorn, how does that help us? How does it hurt us?
Well, if it's leaking out of the Platte going to the Elkhorn, it's not going to get to the MUD well field in West, the West well field.
And
it's
how gonna, much money has MUD put into this project?
MUD has not been, we've not sought funding from MUD on this. We thought we had.
They were being requested to do some funding.
They were on the other project Lower Platte South is doing. The Lower Platte South, which is a conveyance study, which is kind of studying all the way from up in the loops on down to the well fields, the conveyance. And this information we may well input into that study. But MUD and Lincoln Water System are cost-sharing in that study. I guess we thought through these state funding projects and these state grants and the other NRD that we had good partnership.
The same question I asked before. I think John Conley attempted to answer it. If it was that important, wouldn't they be involved, want to be involved in it?
I think they're certainly interested in what the results are.
They're not paying for it.
Well, we're talking about, as we see on the table there, if you go up a little, that basically the district's costs here are going to be $19,000, we in the Lower Platte North. We're getting some good funding from GS and states, and thinking that we have good partners here, and I guess the way we're proposing it. But I think they certainly will be interested ultimately in what we find.
Good thoughts.
I think if you pump that nitrate water over there, they'd really get on board then.
Well,
it kept their interest.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't care for that, yeah.
Marlon, the memo said that USGS, hey, they upped their ante from 66 to 78.
Yes.
Did that not reduce our funding requirement?
Well, that was where the cost share, we did have a higher number for the NRDs, and we did reduce that. From what we originally showed you on the Water Sustainability Fund a few months ago, we were up around 22,000, I think.
But the cost of the study went up a little bit since that first estimate as well.
And it also went up a little bit.
So that kind of balanced out what they contributed.
We did end up gaining, but yeah, the study cost went up a little, and
but our contribution
share
went
down. And there's,
but our share went down small, a little bit.
I'm on record of opposing this. I think last time it came up, even to submit it to our sustainability fund, and I. Although it didn't do any good, and Barney didn't make the minutes. I still have reservations about once you find this happens, $253,000 of taxpayer money. Then what? I'm still not convinced. Maybe it's my inability to comprehend the big picture. I don't know.
So what happens to the report?
I think it'll be used in planning as we look at these, not so much tonight, but water short times. They're looking for answers, and I think this will be a help in getting those answers on down the road in our integrated management plan. This is part of our integrated management planning for the Lower Platte.
Any other discussion, directors? Roll call.
Frank Conley. Aye. User?
Yeah.
Chairperson?
No. Item 8. Again, recommendation of Big Papio Creek Levy Culverts Project. Martin Cleveland, I saw him in Mexotec Fire.
Thank you. Once again, we're revisiting this topic. A little better results than last time. We bid it in December 2015 and February 2016, and again bid it in April of this year. The low bid was received by was prepared and provided by Nelson Rock Contracting in Ottawa, Iowa, and their bid was $1.683 million, roughly. It's about $250,000 less than the last time we bid this. The low bid. The bidders, of course, were less this time, but we still think it's a for the time frame of bidding these kind of projects is as good as we're going to get. And certainly they're a competent contractor. They can do the work. Their sub is NIWAR, which has did a work, recent job on the Elkhorn for the district and has did work for us in the past, riprap jobs on the various Papio Creeks. So both contractors, I think, have the skill set to do the work. So the recommendation was actually in the memo from or letter from Fiber as well, and Mike may have a few other comments to add to what I just indicated.
Well, I feel a lot better about this, especially since we got their bid, and I had a good discussion with Wayne from Nelson Rock, and I think our estimate one of the biggest deviation between our estimate and the actual bid was in the 96-inch pipe that's going down there by the Fricky Farm culvert. Since the data that, of course, we don't build a whole lot of 96-inch culverts. They're a fairly large culvert. The data we had was from a CSO project that was a couple years old, and I understand there was a pretty, I'm told there's a pretty significant spike in that the cost of those large diameter culverts, transportation, and some new regulations for mobilizing those across town. So if I take the actual cost data that is current, according to Wayne, I haven't vetted this through the concrete company, I don't know, it really matters, but it would have increased our engineer's estimate a couple $100,000. So the deviation from this bid from ours is probably closer to $225,000 than $500,000, I would say, given some new data. There's no data out there for 96-inch culverts right now, so we're kind of using some older, staler data, I think, for that, for estimating cost. So I feel a lot better about the cost. Their bid, there is one goofy thing on the bid, too, about they have a flared end section for the culvert that he had in at a really high price, and I called him. I said, well, what's this all about? He says, I was in the parking lot doing my bid at the last minute, and I thought I put it in mobilization. I put it in the wrong number, and I didn't have time to erase it. So the good news is there's no chance we're going to add a flared end section for the 96-inch. Sometimes you'll see contractors kind of take, you know, profit out of quantities that will not change and put them into things that are likely to change, like common excavation. That's certainly not the case here. It looks goofy on the bid, if you ask me, but after talking to him, I'm not worried about it. His mobilization is too low. I mean, his mobilization doesn't even cover the cost of him getting bonds, so I believe that it was an honest mistake in terms of where that was. So those are the two biggest items I felt were worth discussing.
Okay, I'd
like to move to that right today.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to comment? Directors? Okay, roll call.
Mizu?
Yes.
Ray Conley? Aye.
Cheers. Yes. 9. Thank you. Review and recommendation FY 2017 equipment requirements, Nick Paul Gust.
Good evening. I am here tonight to brief the FY 2017 equipment requirements. And the process to identify and prioritize equipment most needed by the district was determined by a staff equipment committee, and that was comprised of Bill Brush, Martin Cleveland, Zach Nelson, Bill Warren, Terry Schumacher, Gene Tate, and myself. Each department within the NRD identified their equipment requirements, and the equipment committee reviewed each item and made recommendations to the general manager for purchase. The general manager then reviewed the committee's recommendations and made further changes to the request list. We're going to start with the machinery and equipment. We've identified for operations and maintenance 6 mobile radios and 4 portable radios, including programming costs, at the cost of $28,421 for existing district radios that are analog and are no longer compatible with local digital radio systems. Also for the O&M, we have identified a 2017 John Deere 6145R cab tractor with the trade-in that would be $66,500 for use on 100 miles of levee and 40 PL 566 structures in Sarpy, Douglas, and Washington counties. Also for O&M, a 2017 flex swing rotary mower that's $12,500 with trade-in for use also on 100 miles of levee and 40 PL 566 structures in Sarpy, Douglas, and Washington counties. For the Thurston and Dakota County, we have identified 2017 flex swing rotary mower used for Pigeon Jones 46 PL 566 structures, levees, offline storage areas, etc., at the cost of $16,500. Also for the Thurston, Dakota County, 2017 Bobcat Toolcat 5600, $44,000 with trade-in for use on district projects, Nebraska Games and Park, Pigeon Jones and Cramper in lieu of a gator replacement. And for their survey department, we have identified a QuickView Air HD pipe inspection camera to replace outdated equipment that we currently have for use in walk-through pipe inspections that's too big for our rover, and that's at the cost of $15,550. for automobiles and trucks, we have identified a 2017 survey vehicle with a truck topper, and we estimate that at $47,000 with the trade-in of a 2006 Ford F-250 with end-of-year miles of 108,286 and over $9,500 in existing repairs due to the rough terrain that it travels. We've also identified a 2017 full-size chassis cab, four-wheel drive, one-plus-ton pickup truck, $38,000 with trade-in, and this is actually a carryover from FY16 that was approved by the board on in November of 2015. And just as a reminder of the district's current policy for vehicle replacement, policy 16.8 district property vehicle replacement schedule says that gas vehicles should be replaced at 7 years or 150,000 miles, and diesel vehicles 8 years or 200,000 miles. For office equipment, we've identified the replacement of 20 to 30 workstations at the cost of $30,000, and this is just normal workstation replacement schedule. And we'll be replacing some CPUs with laptops to accommodate our more mobile staff. In addition, miscellaneous parts, printers, and mobile devices at the cost of $12,000. Backup system storage replacement for Blair as their warranty expires in FY17, and the cost of that $5,000. And backup system storage and server replacement in Omaha, both those warranties also expire in the FY17, and that's at $15,000. And this is just kind of a budget comparison between 2017 budget that we identified and last year's FY2016 budget. Total FY17, $330,521, and the total FY16 budget was $298,222. And so management recommends that the FY2017 equipment requirements be approved as listed, subject to the FY2017 funding.
Second. I'll make bills quite a little bit. Okay, I'll second.
Mm-hmm. All right, keep in mind that the staff recommendation says that it's subject to the FY2017 funding.
Correct.
Having said that, any comments from the public? Any other staff members? Director? I've got a comment.
Okay.
This is the last time I'm ever going to say it. We don't have sole source here. All right, Mr. Warren? We have brand name preferences. Right, Mr. Warren? Just, and in the subsequent memos, okay. Just find it.
Yeah, our sole source refers
and even
to
in your little
name.
Blurb here, sole source memo, it's not sole source. And I'm looking at Jean, and she's going to train you right. I've always had a problem as well as trading in big pickup trucks with low mileage on it. I consider $108,000 per miles not that great, even though it's been beat up. And sure, there's $9,500 in repairs because it's driven over rough terrain. I'm not going to make a motion that be extracted, but it's on my hit list, especially when we're going from 296 to 330. So I've got concerns on that. Maybe Thursday we can
Actually, the budget is less for equipment this year than last year because the one's a carryover, the $38,000 for the full-size chassis. It was approved in November of 15, but due to manufacturing, I don't want to say inefficiencies, but due to manufacturing of certain model number and date, we couldn't get the vehicle until now. So it's actually $38,000 less than what it was, or what the final number is, because that money carried over, so it hasn't been spent.
All right, so the 296 was not accurate.
No, that's what's spent.
Okay.
But we didn't spend
the $38,000. Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification. Any other discussion?
Sure.
If you don't go ahead and replace the vehicle.
exceptions, and you have to be strategic when you get vehicles.
Does that 9,000 repairs include tires?
Mike, does that include tires?
I think we have
tires.
I don't know
if
that includes.
Okay.
I'm just kind of curious.
There you go. Right. Well, you know, obviously, certain vehicles take more wear and tear than driving on the highway and just the general street. So they're going up levees, down levees, by pipes, so you name it. And so they get beat up a little more than others.
The way they were driving on no-name bike a couple weeks ago, I could see why we were buying new vehicles. But, no offense, I mean, inside joke. Actually, I didn't think that 9,000 is that bad for a vehicle that is driven up and down dikes and hills and dales and through gullies. And that didn't bother me. That's, $1,000 a year, that's not bad.
What a week.
I spend that. I don't even drive.
Well, no, I don't think that's per year. I think that's what it's currently do.
That's what's currently, yeah.
Well, it's had other maintenance. Yeah. It has 9, Gene.
There's a slide that...
I'm sorry.
That Mike is and Nicole's done a really good analysis on vehicle wear and tear and tires since we purchased or got rid of the vehicle. You can see how much money here is.
Okay.
Are we still posting or storing data for any other entities?
Why can't you use yourself?
We have some hosting, and Bill's not here to get the exact number, but it takes up a very small portion, and we get reimbursed for that as well. So it's not like we're doing it for free. And I know that just with technology, by the time we get servers and we get desktops, they're obsolete, and so you're constantly keeping up with that battle, keeping up with current technology. We have, we just have a ton of data. And so we want to make sure that that's where everybody can process that. We're using a lot of equipment in the field now that we never used before. Very, takes a lot of data to access those software and those systems. So we're just trying to play keep up. I think IT is a constant battle to keep up with technology. And our employees are getting smarter, and so they're using more of those tools.
Speaking of, Lori just walked in. How's that project going? Are we hosting her search capabilities?
For?
Grant hookup.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I'll talk to you.
talk to you after the meeting. It doesn't affect the amount of equipment that we need. Oh, no. I guess what I'm hearing from staff. Any other discussion?
Go ahead.
No discussion? You're done?
Well, I was going to comment. Back in the 80s, I used to sit through these meetings, and we'd fight over a pickup truck that, my God, with no schedule replacement, every year, that's too much money. It's really nice to see a good schedule, and I am satisfied that this is the right way to go, and I will support it.
All right. Roll call.
Yes.
With that, we are adjourned.
Excuse me. Does the public get to make any comments and to discuss?
Yeah. After the motion is made, the chairman will say, "Is there any comment from the public?" And that's when the opportunity for the public to address the board. Or the subcommittee, excuse me.
Okay, it's not specifically on the item for discussion.
Yes, it is for the items that we discussed.
Yeah, it's only for the items that are under discussion. There's no other comment period for just some other comment you may have.
Well, it's about the Papio Creek and the bank.
And the bank?
That has washed away from my property.
Okay, then I would suggest that you send or call me tomorrow. We can talk after the meeting, and we'll get somebody to take a look at it or whatever the situation is. Okay. Well, let's talk after the meeting and we'll get a response for you.
Thank you.
Okay.
What do you think about 2 minute recess? 2-3 minutes?
Sure.
Would you mind?
It's up to you. You're the chairman.
Oh, God. Tonight. Recess.
Meeting at is posted in the bathroom and outside.
As was previously stated, with that quorum call.
John Kelly.
Absent. Excuse.
Yep.
Woodle. Thompson.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Fred be serving as alternate.
Yeah. Is Fred?
Yep.
Yes.
Here.
Adoption of the agenda, please.
So move.
Second.
Roll call.
Ross?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes. I have before me proof of publication. With that, we move on to item number 6, review and recommendation of Ralston Creek Project, 69th View Right-of-Way Agreement with Builder Supply. Martin, good evening.
I believe we are going to request that this get laid over.
Okay.
Something came up very late here, and so we need to, you know, work through that and resolve that.
Okay.
And so we'll bring it back next month.
I recommend we table it for a month.
Well,
I just no action.
You can lay over.
We just
No, not really.
You don't need it.
Okay.
Item 7, review and recommendation of surplus property, dam site 15A. Lori, good evening.
Good evening. Can you go to the map, please, Mike? So if you recall, we spent quite a long process purchasing the land for Papio Dam Site 15A. We had 17 tracts total, about 730 acres that we purchased. Of that 730 acres, approximately 11 of those were not originally identified as being necessary for the project. Let me get the map. I can show you this area. Yes. So can you scroll on just a little bit more? Perfect, right there. So track 10 here. Down. There we go. Track 10 was originally had a little cutout piece at the top that we did not identify necessary for the flood pool. However, that would have left the owner of Track 10 with 10.875 acres without really access or anything, and they did not own any other land in the area, so they requested that the district purchase the entire property, and the board did approve that. Through negotiations and other happenings, there's been several inquiries about selling that excess property. Can you go to the next drawing, please? Down just a little. Yep. A little bit more. There we go. So this is the legal description for the property that was not originally identified as being necessary for the project. At this point, there's really nothing planned for that area. All of the park facilities will be located elsewhere. It's just kind of up there. And we would recommend that the board declare that as surplus property. With that, I can answer questions.
And how many acres is it?
10.875, or 857, sorry.
That's Deborah.
Thank you.
Do a second.
Director, do we have a second yet?
No.
Second.
No, you do.
This is on the declaring it excess.
Right.
Yes.
That recommendation. Okay. I'll second that.
Thank you. Comments from the general public? Staff, Director Jeff.
Okay. The owner of track 11 has some easement in there for the road. How's that going to affect it?
The easement goes with the land. So whether we keep this as park property and turn it over to the City of Omaha or sell it to a third party, that easement will stay.
Okay. Then how many acres less are there going to be?
The
road that goes in there, then I assume, I want to know how much of the property is road.
I don't have that figure off the top of my head, but that the road also doesn't stay on that easement forever. Because if there's development to where a public road touches any part of that, that road portion would go away. So it could be that some or all of that access road will be replaced by a public road, and it may go away. I can calculate the easement area there, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
Any further comments from directors? Directors, huh?
You kind of skipped over real quickly why this action occurs now. You said there have been some interest and inquiries. Mm-hmm. My initial response when I read this was, okay, we bought the land because we had to. That's what happened. But why now? Why do we sell now versus a year or two from now?
Well, development is going very quickly out here. Can you go back up to the other map, please? We are currently, there's a development here, a development here, and a development down here that are all working right now. They will come soon, and so I think, it's kind of a, it's prime parkland. They really want that, and they're beating down the door, asking for it right now.
There may be a situation that if we don't sell it now, then the development will get built out around there, and then it may have no value because it wasn't worked into the
development plan.
The other development plan. So,
yeah, it is a very small piece, and it certainly makes sense for any of the contiguous properties there. And we have had a specific inquiry from this the owner of this development.
Is it developable with the terrain or whatever? I can't see the details.
Yes.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking at grading a major part of that piece she just showed there to the east.
So they have already started grading on this side of that site. And they will be moving to this side in the next couple of months for this developer. But again, we've had interest also from the owner of Tract 11 in possibly purchasing that as well.
But as far as timing and why now, that developer saying, well, if this one could buy it, he could incorporate it in his grading and all his planning that he's doing right now for this area so it fits well. That's his case. I don't know about the other. So he's saying, I appreciate a decision now whether you like to,
Plus, we have more interest than one party, so it's a bidding environment that may be beneficial.
Right. Is that, are we in discussion?
Well, I'm when I'm done. I guess it goes down and the other side, shoots down to a point. Is that because of the geographic nature of the flood pool and the park?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Further questions?
Who's the developer to the east?
To the east? Boyer Young.
That will be single family detached homes.
Most of it will be, yes. They will have some other Bennington school site is planned for that.
They show
as well.
Us the site.
Yes, we've seen a site plan. We've been working with them because, we are doing some improvements along Ida Street. They will have to do some additional improvements along Ida Street, so we've been working with them to try to make sure that once our improvements are done and we don't open Ida Street so that they come back in, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months later and have to close Ida Street again. So we've been working with them quite a bit on that issue.
Act 11's owner, what would they want to do?
I think that would be my guess is farm ground. I don't know for sure though.
So you're proposing to accept sealed bids versus the auction, like we did on
that's the next item.
That's the next item, yeah.
Further questions? Mr. Frost?
Have we already put the sewer system in for them? Have we put the sewer system up there for them?
Well, our contractor is doing that, but the city of Omaha is paying that portion. So that work is underway right now. But
and before the area, not
For
the entire.
It's an interceptor sewer that goes up. It'll eventually go up much further in the watershed.
Right.
Other questions? Any other roll call?
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Ross.
Abstain.
Chairperson.
Yes. And the results are
3-8, 1 abstention.
Thank you. Moving on, item 8.
No, one more.
I'm sorry. GM. Field bids.
So, yes, as we discussed, if we are to dispose of the property, we would recommend taking sealed bids for the property at this time.
Who's Stepper?
The second?
Second.
Anybody in the general public wish to make a comment? Staff? Directors?
Excess property, why sealed bid versus
the auction at the Prairie Queen made sense because we had two kind of distinct parcels, and the one was a little irregular and there was issues with water service, and so it took more of a, I think, marketing technical, and we still didn't sell it, aspect that the auctioneers could bring as well as marketing. This one we know we've got, it's a smaller piece, it's pretty simple transaction, and it's pretty straightforward, and we know we've got multiple parties that are interested. Sealed bids, they don't cost us anything. There's no realtor fee, there's no auction fee, there's no, it's just simply the highest and best bid, and you can just reject all those bids if you don't think that you're getting enough for the property. So I think for this piece, it makes sense that it's lower cost to no cost, and I think it's just a higher advantage than going with the auction system. So it's pretty small. It's
further comments? Hang on, roll call.
I assume, and although it's the results of that sealed bid, would you come back for board approval?
Oh, yes.
Okay. That clarification.
We cannot sell property without board approval.
So.
Fred Dominic? Ross?
Yeah.
Thompson?
Yes.
Sherford?
Yes. Now we're at number 8. Review and recommendation of right-of-way acquisition for Track 1, West Imperial Regional Basin. Do we need to go with the exec? Yes? Ladies and gentlemen, can we get a motion to go on the exec, please?
Someone.
Second.
And the reason that the reason.
And the reason for exec is.
Discuss the negotiations.
Real estate transaction.
Roll call.
Boss.
No.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Common.
Chairperson.
Yes. At this time, members of the public, we would ask you to please exit, and we'll call you back when we go back into regular session.
Is the sound system on?
Thank you, Mark.
Okay. Oh, mic's back on. Turn off audio.
Can we have a motion to go out of executive session, please?
Motion to come out of executive session.
Second.
Roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Moss.
Yep.
Shipper.
Yes. Would someone care to make a motion?
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I need to read it.
Yes, it wasn't.
Okay. Management recommends that the subcommittee recommend to the board that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement for tract 1 for $55,000 per acre for an estimated 81.66 acres of land for the West Papio Regional Basin Number 6 Project, subject to such other terms and conditions as general manager determines necessary and legal.
Thank you. Is there any general public comment? Staff? Directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Fred Conley. Boss, yeah. Thompson.
Yes.
Yes. I believe that completes our agenda. We are adjourned at 7:50 by acclamation.
What was that?
So, I'm saying WP5.
Yes.
The auction. 100% of the land that we had available for sale was picked up. Was that
no,
that's not the case?
46 acre, 48 acre parcel was bought for $42,000.
The 20 acre parcel is still available. They have a contract with us. And they're trying to sell. If they don't, then we can list it. Because here's what happened. The auction occurred. The realtor that I brought in here represented the buyers, the same buyers that I had been talking to.
Okay.
And they were willing to go a bit more.